This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Just a quick word before we get started. Yes, we can be talking about all sorts of other things, but as you know, the world around us has changed considerably. It's gone sideways. And we're all hiding out with family and friends, sometimes by ourselves. We will deal with what's happening around us. But more importantly, I'd just like you to think about the people that we highlighted last weekend. The restaurateurs, the food trucks, the catering companies, the wineries, the breweries, the cider makers, the distillers, all of the artisans that make up our lives, and their families, their loved ones, how they will maintain their businesses, how they will see the end of this crisis and come out the other side, perhaps a better restaurant, a better winery. We don't want them to disappear. Think of them when you're making your plans over these next couple of weeks and months. Let's see if we can include some of those artisans in our lives. Order them up. Give them some support. They've given us so much. Let's return it. Thank you. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Details for this show, and there's a lot of details, at tastingroomradio.com. This is the social distancing version of Tasting Room Radio. We have stories upcoming on Swirl and Untapped in Parksville, a mezcal master in Oaxaca. Had to go there. Because of the virus, events that were supposed to happen in our lives have been canceled, turfed, postponed. I thought I'd just go back and support some of those events because I love locals only. All the craft artisans on Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, heading into Vancouver and trying to win new friends and fans. Top Drop, Vancouver and Victoria, specifically Victoria, it's the first time here. They were planning to come back to Victoria, and they can't, and so we'll go back and revisit that one and support that organization. And Okanagan Falls was going to pour in Vancouver. I was going to head over and talk to everybody. We're going to go back to last year's pour and have a conversation with those very same people. There's one other that hasn't popped into my brain yet, but with any luck at all, we'll fill the month of April. If you have any suggestions, you can find us at mulliganstew.ca. We hope to be streaming some interviews as well. Because Locals only happens every other year, we're going back to 2018, Granville Island, Rich Massey's Locals Only. The guests are the amazing Louise Pettick, Mike Narichlow from Emmendare, and Mike Rathjen from Rathjen, Loretta Zanata from Zanata Wines, Chris Tierick from Unsworth, Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse. We have guests from 40 Knots and Courtney Comox, Marilyn Venturi from Venturi Schulze, and Julie Powell from Alderley. And finally, Daniel Dragert and Mira Tuz from Kutatosh on Salt Spring Island. Here we go to Granville Island and Locals Only. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. We will no longer be offering tastings, but we're still here for you, though. The lights are on and someone is home, just in a different way. By the way, they're working on a drive-through window. They're shifting focus to getting wines to your doorsteps, your individual quarantine bubbles, both near and far, within this great country in this strange time. We will be offering free shipping on all orders of 6 bottles or more of Hatch Love. Full case orders will receive an additional liquid love note in the form of a treat from Black Swift Vineyards. For locals, call in your orders to the Hatch, 778-755-6013, and we will hook you up and orchestrate your pickup or delivery. By the way, this post just came in. They are handing out rolls of toilet paper. You can check all the details at thehatchwines.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We find ourselves on Granville Island, specifically at Edible Canada. And it's Locals Only 3. Locals Only, well, we'll find out what that means in just a second, but it is year 3. And all the artisans from Vancouver Island are here, and Louise Fedick, Massey Wines. Were you around for years 1 and 2?
I was.
What's happened in those 3 years with this gathering?
The craft scene on the island has really exploded in the last couple of years. We've taken a year off in between year 2 and 3. So in the last 2 years, specifically, the cider and the spirit scene on Vancouver Island has really exploded. And we've seen a couple new wineries come around as well. So we're really excited to bring some of these cool, small wineries here to market in Vancouver. A lot of these wines that we're showing here today, rarely seen off the island. So it's a really exciting event. The producers here are really excited to come and showcase their products. You know, it's a really unique event. There's not many times that this many producers from the island gather together under one roof, even on Vancouver Island. So to have that happen in Vancouver is really special.
And in some cases, you can't buy these wines in Vancouver yet. Hopefully this will help. So then Vancouver Island becomes a destination if you want to go chase the wines.
It absolutely does. You know, this could be almost like a cool hunting of things to see and do on the island. And it's a really interesting opportunity. It's a unique opportunity for people to meet the producers here. And then now they can go on a trip to the island and visit the place where these products are made.
And meet the people.
Exactly. And the story just continues to tie together.
What's the website?
We have a Instagram handle. It's @localsonlybc. The organizer is Massey Wines, and there's a page for Locals Only on his website as well, masseywines.com.
And next, the cider gathering.
Yes, we have the BC Cider Festival in May at the Pipe Shop in Vancouver. It's actually sold out already.
North Vancouver. Foot of Lonsdale.
Yes, the foot of Lonsdale, so you can take the C bus. No drinking and driving, friends. We do still have trade tickets available, though. Get in touch with us, Locals Only BC, or Rich Massey, masseywines.com, and we can hook you up with trade tickets if you want to come.
It's May the 6th.
May the 6th.
Foot of Lonsdale, North
Foot
Van.
Of Lonsdale, North Van.
Thanks, Louise. Louise Fedek, who is actually running the entire show here for Massey Wines.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
This is Locals Only Year 3 at Granville Island. Rathjen Cellars. I was kind of interested in this. Well, first of all, how the hell to pronounce Rathjen? And the second thing was, where do I know Mike Rathjen from? So, and then you just reminded me, it was Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike, yeah, back in the day we had a little wine blog and we frequented the Okanagan, hanging out with winemakers and just getting excited about BC wine. Mike from Emmendaer, Mike Narichlo and Robin, they took over one of the old Starling Lane properties.
Exactly. Here's the notes I made about Rathjen Cellars. Natural wines from organic, not yet available off-island?
Not yet. We're pretty small production, so we hit about 700 cases our first year, going to add about 25% every year as we can get more fruit. And yeah, we're focusing on just restoring farmland, getting it back to health, and we've now inherited 6 different vineyards on the peninsula.
Inherited?
Inherited.
How does that work?
We planted one, and there's just different people retiring at the right time, and they're small, like 1 to 2 acres, but yeah, we've got 5 in the first 2 years of our operation, so.
Were they planted, or did you plant them?
They were
them?
Planted, so we've got some beautiful old vineyards, like some of the oldest fruit on the island, actually. So,
which kind?
Like 25-year-old Ortega. We've got some Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, of course, a little bit of Marechal Foch. We like that on the island.
Yeah.
So we'll have some fun trying to make some good wines out of that.
So you put a rosé in front of me, but it's got a nice darker hue to it. What'd you make it from?
It does. It's 2/3 Gamay and 1/3 Pinot Noir.
Where'd you find your Gamay?
Not on Saanich, but in Cowichan. Yeah, there's
nice.
A very small plot of it. It's the only one I know on the island, actually. I'd love to plant some more. And there's 4 acres of it up in the Cowichan Valley that I was able to get my hands on. So,
very nice. Now, what else is on your table? What are you pouring today?
We've got our straight-up Pinot Noir and straight-up Pinot Gris. So that's kind of our flagship. All wild ferment, neutral oak. Just really trying to highlight the fruit that we get from the island. Really fresh acidity. They're all food wines. And then we've got our rosé that you're tasting. And then we do 2 blends, which will be kind of ever-evolving. Alsatian-style white blend.
We
call the Wine Bunker White, which is my old basement where we made the wine. And the Wine Bunker Red. So that's Gamay Pinot Noir from the same vineyard. And then we've blended in a little bit of super ripe Foch just to round it out. So that's kind of our fun barbecue red. Yeah, and again, trying to keep the price point down on the Wine Bunker series. So there's definitely a changing of the guard happening. Mike and I are kind of representing the next generation that's coming on, and they've done a lot of good work since the 80s, figuring out what grape varieties grow and where the good vineyards are. So, yeah, it's just that old-world approach of taking over from the previous generation and taking it to the next level. And
well, in some cases, if you didn't take it over, that would go foul.
For sure. Yeah, and some of them have, and it's really sad to see. So,
are there old heritage vineyards maybe covered over by brambles now somewhere?
Yeah, I've seen some.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure.
But then you get rid of the brambles and you find out what you're dealing with.
Exactly. If somebody recorded what varieties are planted there, but I'm sure there's a few mystery vineyards.
Yeah. How do you like now being a winemaker and having your own responsibility and your name on the label?
The name on the label is a lot of fun. Responsibility. Yeah, it's definitely an adventure, and love the farming part of it. That's the best.
Have you and Mike talked about doing a blend together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely on those hard days, and we want to get Mike and Mike back together again and do a little secret release of something or other.
All right, so how are we going to find Rathjen Cellars in Vancouver?
Well,
in BC.
In BC, definitely in Victoria. We're starting there. And like I said, as we grow, we'll kind of hop across the pond, and next stop will be Vancouver. But we're in all the local stores in Victoria, and we're starting to roll out in the restaurants. Our tasting room will be open this summer in Saanich. So.
What's the website?
RathjenCellars.com.
RathjenCellars. It's a soft gin. Rathjen Cellars. I'm drinking the Rosé 2016. Go and find this. Beautifully dry and wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Way to go, Mike.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Mike Narishko, what does it say on your business card?
Tractor driver.
You're the co-owner?
Co-owner of Emmendaire Vineyard and Winery, Mike Narishko at Emmendaire Vineyard and Winery on Vancouver Island, the
very
beautiful
nice.
Cowichan Valley.
Where specifically in the Cowichan Valley?
Okay, so for any of you driving through Duncan, we're on the northernmost part of town. And for all intents and purposes, the Cowichan Valley kind of runs north-south. We're in a unique little valley on the most northern tip of the Cowichan that runs east-west. So we're in the same valley as Avril Creek, ourselves, Saison, Alderley, where we have the lakes at the foot of our properties as well.
So those lakes have an effect?
They have a huge effect. Those lakes create a warming in the atmosphere that rises up, hits the slope of the mountain behind us, and creates wonderful airflow through our vineyards, which does two things. It ripens our fruit very evenly and consistently, and also helps mitigate any sort of disease control.
When you discovered this property, what was it that you immediately said, wow, I can work with that? What was there?
Oh, man. It's funny you ask, because the property was a neglected vineyard. And first of all, it fit our business plan because we didn't have deep pockets. So it was already an established vineyard, but that had been neglected. But what drew us to it is exactly what I described in the beginning here, is it's a south-exposed property in the valley of Mount Prevost, right onto a lake where we have this wonderful whirling atmosphere. It's if you look at any kind of the top wine regions in the world, they all have south slope, some water, whether it be a river or a lake, and then a hillside or a mountain behind them.
What were those first plantings?
First plantings, a lot of Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, Maréchal Foch, Gewürztraminer, and some Sigaribe.
What clone?
Clone of Pinot Noir. 114, very little. 115, 667, and 777.
Were those your favorites, or you felt that they were the ones that could survive?
Those are the ones that just do well on our property. And the so interesting thing about Pinot Noir is clones were formed out of that variety mutating over time to the sites that it was specific to. So the whether those clones are specific to themselves anymore on my site after 18 years, they probably aren't. They're probably starting to mutate to my site now anyway, so they're happy there.
What was the first one that met your expectations?
You know what? The first one that far surpassed my expectations, which brought me almost to tears, was our Pinot Noir. Through and through. I'll just say that all day long. Our Pinot Noir, I opened the first bottle after it was ready to be released, and I was blown away by it. I had expectations for it, and it far surpassed them.
What did you bring from Emmendaire to pour today?
We brought our whole portfolio with us, and side note, half the people here don't know this, half it's sold out, I apologize, but we brought our Pinot Noir, our Maréchal Foch, our Sauvignon Blanc, our Sigaribe Gewürztraminer blend, our Rosé, and since the last time I spoke to you, we had a daughter, baby Clara, and we've released our aperitif, off-dry white wine named Clara, which today's the first pouring of it.
Congratulations. What did you make the Rosé from?
The rosé is our, you know what, the best way I equate it to is kind of making your 7-Eleven Slurpee as you're growing up. You go to the machine and you pick the perfect flavors that work together. So we pick the varieties every year that ripen just right for a rosé. So the 2017 is Tempranillo, Maréchal Foch, a little bit of Carmenere and Malbec, and some Sigaribe.
Mike Narishko, they are at Emmendaire. Now, April the 28th, it's a big day for you.
It is, yeah. It's our
take spring us through release. April 28th.
Yeah, spring release day, April 28th at Emmendaire. Come on by if you're in town. That's when, well, all the wines we're pouring here today, which were just bottled 2 weeks ago, and they're displaying beautifully, they will be released publicly on April 28th, and we can't wait to get them out to our wine club and everybody who loves following what we're up to.
Can I come over and try the Sauvignon Blanc?
Yeah, of course.
Are you
can.
Proud of that?
I'm so proud of it, man. Pinot Noir and Sauvignon Blanc, they ripen so well in the same climate.
A couple of price points. How much is the rosé?
Rosé is $25.
Sauv Blanc
is $30.
Mike Norisco, and we are talking about Emmendaire. Go find them in the College of Ale.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. We will no longer be offering tastings, but we're still here for you, though. The lights are on and someone is home, just in a different way. By the way, they're working on a drive-through window. They're shifting focus to getting wines to your doorsteps, your individual quarantine bubbles, both near and far, within this great country in this strange time. We will be offering free shipping on all orders of 6 bottles or more of Hatch Love. Full case orders will receive an additional liquid love note in the form of a treat from Black Swift Vineyards. For locals, call in your orders to the Hatch, 778-755-6013, and we will hook you up and orchestrate your pickup or delivery. By the way, this post just came in. They are handing out rolls of toilet paper. You can check all the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Just a word from Row 14. Kevin sent a note saying, "We were open last weekend, but have now decided to close until the pandemic is over. The best way to communicate is through social media, email, or phone calls. We decided not to do takeout, as that's really not our style." And chef and partner Derek Gray said, "Now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe." Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, "Our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. They are still open for business at Orofino. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days." And John suggested, "It's a perfect time to self-isolate on a river with a fly rod." One last thought, just something to think about. The suites at Orofino are open for business.
David Brittacombe, you call him Dave, drop the R. He is Wayward Distillation House. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Welcome to Vancouver.
Yeah, I love it here.
Is this your third locals only?
This is my first locals only, yeah.
New kid in town.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you get started with this?
Do what you love and the money will follow, I believe. So I was military for 15 years, so basically a professional drinker, and decided to leave the service and start serving people instead.
What were you doing in the service?
Combat engineer for half of it in the Army, and then for the second half of my career was the Air Force as an aircraft structures technician.
How much aircraft structure or engineering goes into making distilled wines, spirits?
Attention to detail, fabrication, following processes, documentation, tons of carryover.
Discipline?
No, absolutely not. Not in the unruly anyway.
Are you in Comox or Courtney? Who's going to lay claim to you?
Courtney.
Okay. I was going down the list of creations that you've made. Did it start with the Unruly Gin?
Unruly Vodka was our very first one. When I started, I wanted to make the best gin I could. I wasn't a craft vodka drinker. But I looked at how to make a gin, and I wanted the best alcohol. So I sat down, and I made the best vodka I could. I put it in bottle, and I was like, well, damn, now I'm a vodka drinker. So we started with vodka, and we used that Unruly Vodka as a base for our Unruly Gin.
All of it based on honey?
Honey. 100% BC honey from one farm.
Tell me about the caramelized honey. Which one is that?
So we use caramelized honey in two products. I ferment caramelized honey for our Drunken Hive rum, our rum-style spirit made from honey. And I also use it to flavor my Krupnik, which is that spiced honey liqueur.
Now, how old is a Krupnik? I mean, it goes back hundreds of years, right?
Oh, nobody knows where it came from. It's one of those widely contested things. But what we do know is that for hundreds of years, Eastern Europeans have been drinking variants of Krupnik in their own homes. Yeah.
And then going to war.
Oh, definitely. Or trying to stay warm at night.
There you go. The caramelized honey that goes into those guys, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Do you want to start with a Drunken Hive rum?
Yes, please. What's the price point on the on the bottle?
So after tax, we're about $50. All that goes in it, it's caramelized honey, yeast, water, thyme, and love.
His name is Dave Bartholomew. He is the owner and head distiller and has a wonderful job at Wayward Distillation House in Courtney. All right, take me through the Krupnik then, please.
Krupnik is $40, 40%. It is our caramelized honey, real cinnamon, real vanilla, cloves, nutmeg, orange peel, lemon peel.
It's the cinnamon.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
How long have you been open now?
3 years and 3 months.
And what's happened in those 3 years?
Oh, my God, it's been scary. It's so much growth. So in those 3 years, we were the 17th distillery that opened up in the province. Now there's over 50. We started off as just two people, my wife and I. We've now got a team about 8 people deep trying to make booze all day. It's great.
Thank you. I made a note, Dave. I want to know about Depth Charge. Local coffee, espresso, chocolate, and honey.
Yeah, so Depth Charge is... it's more of a flavored vodka than anything else, and it falls into that category, but it's cold brewed coffee, espresso, and chocolate beans all together on our unruly vodka.
What do the liquor stores try to market you as, or what shelf do you end up on?
It's random sometimes. So, for example, Krupnik is a liqueur,
yeah,
but it's 40% alcohol. It's got more alcohol than most of Absolut's flavored vodkas. So they're like, okay, what do we do with that? Vodka is supposed to be made from wheat or potato, but we make it from honey. But it's not sweet at all. Otherwise, it is a traditional international vodka, so it ends up on the vodka shelf a lot. The coffee, the Depth Charge, it can go with flavored vodkas, or sometimes it goes with the Kahlua. Either way, it's...
You're all over the store.
Yeah, we like to be just put together in one little spot.
And under what label?
So the Wayward Order is our...
No, I'm just saying,
BC Craft.
BC Craft.
Yeah, that's where we like to be.
Congratulations on your new career.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anything new coming you want to tease us with?
Well, we are expanding, growing our production capacity, meaning that we'll be able to bring more of our small batch stuff that is usually only in the distillery. We'll be able to push that out a little farther. So you'll be able to find more of our like barrel-aged gins, for example, out in Vancouver instead of just around the distillery.
His name is Dave Bartholomew. He is the owner and head distiller and has a wonderful job at Wayward Distillation House in Courtney. This is Tasting Room Radio. It's a locals only, year 3, and we've come to Edible Canada at Granville Island. The two names you want to keep an eye on and what they're up to are Jason and Elaine McIsaac from Sheringham Distillery in Souk, if I'm not mistaken.
Souk, soon to be Souk. We are actually in Shirley, BC, which is about 25 minutes away from Souk now.
And every time you say Shirley, then you have to explain where Shirley is. You know that.
Yeah, that's right. We do. But now we're moving into Souk. We're in the process of expansion, and we're doing that right now, getting everything up and running for spring 2018.
Define expansion. Does that mean the line increases? Does that mean business is doing well?
It means that we're feeling a need to produce more. We need more space. So we have a new facility, which is going to be 4 times the size of what we have now as far as floor space. We're going to be getting new equipment, which will allow us to produce 2.5 to 3 times as much, and will allow us to play around with a few things like some more seasonals, some new products, and to get on a more regular whiskey program, which is really, really exciting.
How long has it been now, and when do we see the whiskey, which is always the question you have to answer?
Yes, well, we did say that it was going to be released 2018, but I think it's going to need a little bit more time in the barrel, and we're looking right now at January, February 2019. We'd need to increase our production, for sure, for our gin and our aquavit, and we also really want to put some whiskey away, and I'm really excited and passionate about whiskey, so we're going to be focusing on... a couple of different styles of whiskey. One's going to be BC rye, and the other one's going to be Red Fife wheat whiskey, which is a Canadian heritage grain.
I'm going to ask Jason a couple of things. From Sheringham, I wrote down the things that you want us to know about. Small batch, handcrafted spirits, the aromatics. What are the aromatics?
So the botanicals that we use for our gin, juniper, coriander. We use kelp, winged kelp, from the beaches out front of the distillery. Rose petals, lavender, cardamom, and some citrus.
The kelp is a hook. Kelp, what does it impart?
Well, the idea is that it would give a sense of the region, so a sense of terroir. So the kelp imparts a little bit of the ocean on the palate, and it also gives it some depth, some umami, and I think it helps balance out all the other botanicals as well. So I have a culinary background, and the use of kelp in certain stocks would give it a lot of depth and umami. So that was part of the idea. But it also gives it a little bit of that ocean feel.
He is Jason Mikajic, sharing him along with Elaine. Are all your distilleries gathering?
BC Distilled is a great event, which happens in April, the fifth year that it's happening. So everyone sees each other at that event.
And they all get together.
It's a really great event. And if you want to get in a room and be able to taste all the spirits that BC has to offer, it's the best place to do it.
Website?
Sheringhamdistillery.com.
When do they stop going to Shirley and go to Souk?
We'll have that on our website. We'll also launch it on social media. So hopefully within the next couple of months, we're hoping for early May.
Goodbye, Shirley.
No. We'll never get the Shirley out of Sheringham Distillery.
Okay. Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio on Roundhouse Radio.
I have a collection of his cards. Andy Johnson. I actually have ones from years ago. This is nice and fresh and clean. He is the owner of Avo Creek in the Cowichan Valley. Duncan, frankly. And he is pouring here, and I would expect him to be pouring here. Before we get to... Hello, Andy.
Hi there. How you doing?
Very well. Before we actually get to the portfolio that you're pouring today, you sat down on the... on the counter, your wonderful Sometelo Series 2014 Pinot Noir. You're very proud of this because it seems to be the culmination of everything that you've been preaching and talking about for years.
Absolutely. The development of the vineyard has allowed us to now differentiate between our baseline Pinot, which is brilliant, and certain barrels which are really, really good each year.
Is it certain barrels or certain
barrels,
areas?
Certain barrels. And it's usually 667 and 777 of the clones that produce these fine barrels. In the past, I've blended them back into the regular blend. But now the whole portfolio is so good, I can keep them separate. And they're now called the Sommenos series. So we do a reserve wine in all the good years. So 14, 15, and 16, we've done the Sommenos series Pinot. Probably not 17, it wasn't such a good year. But 14 and 15, both years, have won silver medals at the drinks business Pinot Noir Masters competition in London, in England.
What else did you bring to pour, Andy?
I've got some of our Chandelier, which is the new sparkling wine from Vancouver Island, which is brilliant. I've got some Pinot Grigio, which is my staple. Two words, fruit and acid. Brilliant, lovely. And then I have the Prevost, which is our Maréchal Foch blend.
Estate?
All estate. The best of the best in our vineyard is here in this class.
Okay, I need a little overview here, Ken. You're the perfect guy to do it. How are things in the Cowichan? How are things in Vancouver Island in terms of the wine business?
I think this room reflects how things are going in the industry on Vancouver Island. I think we've got a wonderful selection of wines here. The quality level has gone up streets and bounds in the last 5 years. We are now something that the world can come to. And we're working hard to expand this, to make it something big. Doing what you do is a commitment to life. Yep. Retiring is a commitment to death, and I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Andy Johnson, Avro Creek, he is the owner, and he is pouring a fabulous Pinot. What's the price point on the Sommenos?
$45.
$45. And you can find it at the winery?
Yes, you can, and a few stores.
Thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
Have a great year.
Good to see you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Just a word from Row 14. Kevin sent a note saying, we were open last weekend, but have now decided to close until the pandemic is over. The best way to communicate is through social media, email, or phone calls. We decided not to do takeout, as that's really not our style. And chef and partner Derek Gray said, now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe. Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino,
Our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. They are still open for business at Orofino. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days. And John suggested it's a perfect time to self-isolate on a river with a fly rod. One last thought, just something to think about. The suites at Orofino are open for business. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. It's the third annual Locals Only on Granville Island at Edible Canada. Chris Turek is the brand ambassador for Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. And they are great friends of this show. They're one of the sponsors, and we thank them for that. Do you love the idea of Locals Only coming into Vancouver for year three?
Of course. There is a number of very small producers on the island, which seems, you know, it's a big leap for a small producer to come over to do sales in Vancouver. So it's a consolidated event to get everyone in the same room and pour in our wines.
Have you increased production?
We have. Yes, we've had some new vineyards that are coming into production. The vineyards we planted a few years ago are starting to give us some good fruit. So, our production is kind of organically ramping up.
What are you pouring today?
We're pouring our Charme de Lille Sparkling, some new releases of Pinot Gris and Rosé and Allegro, and our Petit Milot and Symphony, our red. So our Lone Red with our five whites.
Lone Red with the five whites. And this one I'm tasting?
This is a Rosé 2017. This is a tank sample as it was bottled pretty recently. So drew off a tank sample, so it's showing nice and vibrantly after... So it'll settle down after bottling, and we'll be releasing sometime in the spring.
One step at a time. What are you making it from?
Pinot Noir, 100%. Since 14, I would say that we've gotten a little increasingly darker. 11 and 12 were quite light, so this is almost a return back to that really light style. And on the nose, pretty true to the Unsworth Rosé nose, you know, fruit forward, but still dry on the palate, still crisp. But yeah, I think over the past few years, it's gotten a click darker each year. So now this is kind of a few clicks back in 1 year.
I love the color.
Thank you.
Will it stay that? I mean, how long is it?
It'll darken up a little bit after it goes into bottle. Our rosé always tends to do that after a few weeks in bottle. But yeah, it is a couple of clicks lighter than our previous vintage.
He is Chris Turek, by the way, and he is the state ambassador for Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. Now, a number of these people pouring today, so the wines and ciders in particular, they want the attention of the Vancouver wine fan. You have it, but you worked hard to get it, didn't you?
We absolutely have. We had some incredible help along the way, mutual friends of ours, but the quality and the style of what the wine speaks for itself. So if you're making high quality wine consistently at a competitive price in a good package, I mean, it's hard not to buy.
Consistency. It's everything.
Absolutely.
So if you like that rosé from last year, you're going to love the one from this year.
That's the goal. It seems to be one of our more consistent wines.
Any surprises this year in terms of production?
Yeah.
What's under the table, Chris?
Well, we just have the tank samples here as kind of quote-unquote under the table. But there's one variety which is in the blend of Allegro this year in relatively small amounts. But I hope it can be a standalone in years to come. It's called Amiel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful white grape that makes really, really beautiful, floral, kind of melony. I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe we can do it on its own in a few years. But not for 2018, I doubt.
You build an incredible winery and a tasting room. Tell me about Vancouver Island and the Cowichan Valley as a destination over the years.
Well, what we can offer is so much beyond wine. I mean, wine is a focus is fantastic, but there's people doing tea, there's people making salt, there's cideries, there's distilleries, there's breweries. So it's more than just wine, and it's more than just a multi-day destination now. And it's not just, you know, a quick stop through Duncan on the way to Tofino. It's itself a destination now. But I like to say that it's the diversity of whites, reds, rosés, and bubbles that we can offer that keep people interested and keep, you know, we can excel with various styles of wine.
Frankly, being selfish about this, I would love to see Gamay take hold somewhere.
There are some vines in the ground. They are not on our property. But my dream one day is to have access to a little Gamay and do some Cru Beaujolais style.
There you go. He's Chris Turek, and you can find him and his dad and his team at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley and stay for dinner or lunch. It's a fantastic restaurant. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Terry.
It's the third annual Locals Only on Granville Island at Edible Canada. Perfect place to do this. Zenata Winery, who I discovered on my own one day, on a Saturday, when they were inundated with weddings, and I loved the wines. Loretta and Jim, Loretta Zanata, Jim Moody, are you both here today?
Yes, we are.
What did you bring to pour?
We brought to pour some Damasco, which is our still white, and our Glenora Fantasia, Brut, sparkling wine, and Pinot Nero.
You didn't bring the...
Yeah, we brought the Fantasia, of course. The Fantasia, we've been producing it since the 1991 vintage. It's made in the traditional champagne method using a grape called Cayuga, which is a hybrid. Probably one of the few people who still grow Cayuga.
How did we get Cayuga? Who planted that?
It was part of the original experiment that we did in the 80s with...
The Duncan Project?
It was the Duncan Project. That's right. It was a provincial government. And we thought it was really nice as a sparkler. It was a mistake when we made it as a sparkler. It just kind of re-fermented in the bottle and I...
What does it remind you of for people who might not have tasted it or smelled it?
It's white and it's like a crispy apple, like a Granny Smith apple when you bite into it. That smell of the apple with a little bit of breadiness, a little butter from having aged on the lees for sparkling.
Take the audience, please, if you would, take the audience through your other pours today, just a little bit about them.
Well, that was the Glenora Fantasia. The Damasco is actually a blend of four different varieties, predominantly Muscat and Ortega. So you get that Muscat nose, really fruity, pretty intense fruit, little sparkle on the tongue, excellent sipping wine. It's a little off dry, but it's still considered dry. Great, cool, hot weather wine. Then we have the Pinot Nero, the 2015 vintage, and it's about 30% used oak, French oak. It's got lots of fruit, lots of raspberry, blueberry, quite an intense red for a Pinot.
Are you making a rosé?
We made a rosé in 2017, and it sold out, of course, but that's the only rosé we've ever done. Other than our sparkling rosé, we do have a champagne method rosé, Alegria.
There you go. That's the one.
Yeah, it's a Pinot Noir, 100%. And we make that every year. It's a ruby rosé. It's quite an intense rosé.
How long have you been doing this now?
It's about 28 years.
Is it possible to describe how much the valley and the business has changed around you?
It's changed a lot. It's huge because when we started, we, of course, were the first of the wineries, followed by two others in the next couple of years. And we sat at just maybe four wineries for a good 10 years before the rest started coming on board.
And what set it in motion?
I think people started to be interested in the whole food and movement on the island. There's a lot of local food movement's really big. And the idea that you could actually grow grapes on the island was very novel in the beginning. And of course we could grow grapes. It's just no one ever did it, right? We were growing apples and...
And which grapes? Which ones
which
were going to...
Which ones? So that was the big key. And if you know, with the replant program that they started in the Okanagan in the 80s with free trade, that's really what got us going, because we were able to get in on the Becker project, which became the Duncan project, and try all the viniferas that we did on the island. Because before that, no one was really growing. Even here in the Okanagan, they weren't really growing a lot of viniferas. So that's how that all unfolded.
Thank you for doing this, and congratulations on survival and thriving and pouring here today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse, is in the chair here at Edible Canada. It's Locals Only number 3. Winemakers, cider makers, artisans from Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands all gathered in one room on Granville Island. How important is Vancouver? How important is it as a market?
3 million people in the general area or something. You know, for us, our focus when we first started was to, you know, work in our backyard on the island, and we've done that very well.
And they're very loyal people. They'll support their wineries.
Absolutely. The buy local ethos on the island is huge. But, you know, we've grown a bit since then, and so now, you know, the next natural step was to move into Vancouver, and we've engaged Amavino to handle us here, and we're starting to make inroads. It is coalescing at the same time as our production is going up, which is nice. We've planted 7 more acres last year, which doubled our vineyard, and we're clearing another 20. So in the next 5 or 6 years, we're going to be at a total of 30 acres, and you need to be off the island if you're going to move that kind of wine.
What are you going to plant in those 20 acres?
Our focus is going to be Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, and Sparkling Base.
But a lot of Pinot Noir.
Yes. Pinot Noir, I mean, with the changes in climate that we're seeing, I have a strong belief that Pinot Noir is going to do very well. And Pinot Gris is always a great grape for the island, and sparkling. And so we've got a bit of Chardonnay and a bit of Pinot Meunier, and we'll be experimenting with what the blend is for the sparkling.
You're working with some of the oldest vines on the island. How old are those old guys now, and how deep are they?
There's a few that were planted even before Hans was there. A couple rows of Pinot Noir, a couple rows of Pinot Gris, and some Bacchus. And they are old and gnarly.
You didn't personally do this, but there was a complete overhaul of the winery. How did it show itself in terms of tourism, destinations, people showing up?
It's been a really great thing for us. I wouldn't say it was just us building a destination winery, but I think that the Cowichan Valley was also starting to get on people's radar as a tourism destination in general. We have all sorts of great craft distillers, ciders, you know, food people. People are growing stuff in profusion up there. The farmers market, I think the Duncan Farmers Market just won Farmers Market of the Year award this year. So, you know, it's a pretty exciting place to be right now.
Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse. What are you pouring today?
We're pouring everything. The Quill Pinot Gris is tasting very nice. The Quill White, all island grapes. The Rosé, one of my favorites. 60% Gamay Noir and 40% Pinot Noir.
How much is that Rosé?
Under 20 bucks.
Quills?
Same.
Bubble?
Bubble's 30 and change maybe. The really exciting thing that I'd like to talk about is that with the new vineyard planting, it is all going to be organic.
Do you do that organic for you or for us?
We do it because it's the right thing to do. Well, we do it. I do it for my kids that are running through the vineyard. Yeah. I do it for my dog that would be running through the vineyard. And I do it because it's the right thing to do. And we have the technology now to figure this stuff out, so we might as well do it.
You got one wine that you've tucked in your back pocket that you've always wanted to make?
We have something coming out later this year that's pretty exciting. When I first started at Blue Grouse, I did a fortified black muscat, and I have 6 vintages of it now in barrel. I have 1 barrel of everything, of every vintage, and I'm putting together a blend of this for a little anniversary celebration that we got coming up later this summer.
Congratulations on everything, Blue Grouse.
Thank you very much. We look forward to hosting you soon.
Bailey Williamson, Blue Grouse.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. Because all of the wineries in the Cowichan, and actually across Canada, have been asked to close, this is what we're proposing to do. Free shipping on case orders, as per usual, and someone at the winery is available for drive-through pickups. It's a great idea. Just a heads up, the wine club shipment is in June. The restaurant is closed as of now, but they will reopen as soon as they can, 7 days a week. And when Unsworth does reopen, think about this. They're adding private tasting and tours for $45. They are an hour long, have a snack board with wine and cheese, and can be booked in advance by email or calling them. Please go to their website, unsworthvineyards.com. We're at Locals Only 3. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Granville Island, across from the Arts Club at Edible Canada, which is a great room. But here's a new label that's coming your way from a name that I think you might recognize. He is Daniel Dreigert, who was the winemaker and part of the winemaking team at Avril Creek, who are here as well. But he has his own wine coming with himself and Mira Tuz. So tell us about Kutatás.
Kutatás.
What do we need to know about the name?
Kutatás is a Hungarian term for research, exploration,
or
the quest, discovery, yeah. And Mira and I both have some Hungarian roots, so we figured it would be a great descriptor for our project. And what we're trying to do is make really small lot, really interesting wines, really risky wines, and have some fun with it.
Define those risky wines.
There's a lot of spontaneous ferment going on. There's a lot of techniques that are risky in themselves, so we're doing a lot of whole bunch fermentation. We're doing some carbonic maceration on white wines, which is not usually done. We're really striving for texture. We're doing some ferments on Pinot Gris that are completely unsettled, so whole solids. We're really trying to make really interesting wines, and we're trying to push the limits on what can be done and really make wines that are layered and textured and complex. The neat thing about this, what we're trying to do, is that on a large scale, a lot of these techniques would almost be impossible to do.
Yes.
So
small batch.
Yeah, a lot of our batches are micro batches, a 50-case batch of Pinot Gris, a 120-case batch of Ortega.
Okay, you already have my attention, just on that alone, and the fact that you're pushing the limits. So what did you bring to pour today?
Today we have an Ortega, half carbonic macerated, half macerated, barrel-aged Surly. We have a Pinot Gris that is whole solids, barrel-aged, spontaneous fermented. We have a rosé that's 100% Pinot Noir, very extracted on the heavier side, which is really kind of against bucking the trend. The trend is for these lighter,
pale,
drinkable rosés. Yeah. But we really wanted to push it. This is another spontaneous fermented wine. We're really trying to push the texture. All the wines we have are aged Surly, extended. We also have Pinot Noirs that are in the queue that aren't released quite yet, but are in bottle. And
will they be different as well?
They are. One is a whole bunch fermented Pinot Noir. The other is made in a few different ways, but de-stemmed traditionally, but not inoculated, so another wild ferment.
Have you ever had so much fun?
Never had so much fun.
What did you make the most of?
I think we actually have the most of Pinot Noir, believe it or not. I think it's a 200-case batch, so still not very much.
Pretty good.
We're excited for it, and we're thinking sometime in the summer we'll release it.
How much rosé did you make?
170 cases.
This is good rosé.
Thank you.
This is really good rosé. This is a food rosé.
It is definitely a food rosé, and we do like the fact that it's a little bit different than most rosés that are on the market. It gives the consumer a choice to go to the heavy textured rosé over the light and fruity rosé.
On behalf of the consumer, what's the price point on the rosé?
21 something plus tax.
Okay.
So it'll come to around $25.
How are we going to find this label? Where is it going to be found?
This is a good question. You could email us for more information at kutatashwines@gmail.com. We should have our own website coming up fairly shortly. We should have our own online store coming up fairly shortly. We are currently trying to get the product into as many sort of specialty wine stores as we can. Should be able to get it definitely on Vancouver Island and soon in Vancouver.
What's the next experiment?
The whole purpose actually of initially when we got into this was to make sparkling wine.
Okay.
We soon found out that we were sitting in what would end up being probably the three best years the island has seen in a long time. So we thought it was kind of foolish to put all the wine into sparkling when we could make some really good table wines. But we do have some natural sparkling wine in the queue. So this is wine that's no SO2 added, wild fermented in barrel, lees aged, straight to tirage, and it's sitting in bottle now, just aging out, and in a couple of years it'll be ready. So,
congratulations on this Kutatás.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
Kutatás. Friends? Here is your one label you want to keep an eye on, Kutatás. It's Daniel Dreigert, Mira Tuz,
and they are in Saanich, and they are making wines you want to go find and chase and deliver. KUTATAS. This is Tasting Room Radio, locals only, Granville Island.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
From the land of three named people, Brenda Hetman Craig, Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Have you done all three locals only?
I have.
And what's happened in the 3 years on Vancouver Island and the response here?
It has grown so much, and the popularity has, and the region's really coming into itself. It's finding its own identity, just those cool climate, juicy, crisp wines that everybody's seeking after.
Brenda Hetman Craig, 40 Knot. What'd you bring to pour from 40 Knots?
We brought everything from our French traditional sparkling to Pinot Gris, Ziggy, Chardonnay, our White Seas blend. We have rosé and orange, Pinot Noir, and our port style.
Rosé?
It's a Provence style of rosé. It's 50% Gamay and 50% Pinot Noir.
40 Knots Vineyard and Estate Winery, Brenda Hetman Craig. I asked you to bring over L'Orange. Tell me about the label and tell me about what's in that bottle.
We were one of the first wineries in BC to try this method. It dates back 5,000 years ago, I believe, to the country Georgia. So we put these grapes full into an amphora pot. For this year, we used half Schoenberger, half Pinot Gris, and must be wild fermentation. We leave them to ferment. So to sum up orange style, it's really white grapes made like a red wine. But not only do we leave them on the skins through fermentation, we leave them on there for a substantial amount of aging before we pull them off the skins.
Substantial?
Couple months. Yeah.
Couple of months.
Yeah. So they've got a lot of tannins. So what's so much fun about this is blindfolding somebody that really knows wine so that they can't see the color. Because it looks and smells to me that it's going to be sweet and high alcohol. And then when you take your first sip and you get this dry wine with all those big, soft tannins, and when you chill this wine, you get a lot of clean, crisp fruits and herbs, but yet if it's room temperature, now you're getting into the cigar box, cedar, nutmeg, black pepper.
Brenda Hetman Craig, 40 Knot. Who are the people that are attracted to that? You get a sense of them?
Yes, it's the people that are adventurous, the chefs particularly. We find that it is incredibly easy to pair with. It's a chameleon. So when you have that little bite of dark chocolate with this wine, this big orange flavor starts coming out. If you have it with olive tapenade, you start getting more herbs and more fresh fruits.
How about nothing at all?
I love it with nothing at all.
What's the price point on the 40 Knots L'Orange?
$36.90, and they're a small batch, so they come numbered. There was 1,500 bottles made.
40 Knots, that's where you want to go. Brenda Hetman Craig is the team leader there, and you can find them North Island, Courtney Comox.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio.
It's Locals Only, number 3. It's a gathering of artisans from Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands, and they're here pouring all of their very best and reminding people that they're out there just across that stretch of water. And they have all gathered because of Rich Massey and his crack team getting us all here to Edible Canada on Granville Island. Giordano and Marilyn Venturi are here, representing, of course, the love of their life, Venturi Schulze. And I didn't look at your pour and portfolio, Marilyn. How are you, and what are you pouring?
Oh, we actually bought a whole pile of wines today, and I'm not expecting people to try them all, but at least it gives them options of various things.
What did you bring?
Well, some new wines, brand new things that nobody's tasted. We've got a wine called Raven the Thief, and that's a fun story because the particular Raven, and we could recognize him. He had particular markings. He wasn't all black, and he and his buddies just kept flying over back and forth over the Pinot Noir and Zweigelt to the neighbors and stealing eggs. So the neighbor and we collaborated, said, what are we going to do about that raven? And in the end, we just sat on the porch and had a good time watching him steal eggs. And when we decided to blend those two flocks together, we made a wine called Raven the Thief of Pinot Noir Zweigelt.
And what's the price point on that?
Probably $28. I'll have to go and see because we hadn't even released it yet.
And what else?
A new cuvée of sparkling wine, our 2013. completely natural, zero sweetness. This time the cuvée has no oak and it's auxerrois. We brought the 2014 Pinot Noir, which is a beautiful blockbuster Pinot Noir wine. Superb wines coming from the islands now in a lot of these reds, which will surprise people. We brought a Ziegerber, the Brandenburg No. 3, Millefiori, and a Madeleine Sylvaner, and a whole lot of island varietals to try.
We're talking one of the original wineries on Vancouver Island, Venturi Schulze. Did I see your balsamic there as well?
Yes, we brought the balsamic, the classic that everybody's familiar with, and we've also brought our Legacy, 1990 Legacy, which we had to wait 25 years aging in Solera barrels, cherry, chestnut, acacia, ash, and oak, and finally start drawing out one single liter from each of the head barrels for sale every year. And that's $100 for 100 mils, so it's pricey, but worth it.
It's like a perfume.
Yeah, it is. You put it behind your ears. And then people will not leave you alone.
I'm going to come over and taste with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
What's your website?
VenturiSchulze.com. No T in Schulze.
No T in Schulze. Thank you very much, Marilyn. We're coming to the close of this conversations that we're having with artisans from winemakers, mead makers, cider makers, distillers on Vancouver Island. By the way, the cider makers, May the 6th at the foot of Lonsdale in North Vancouver, it's the BC Cider Festival, and I'll be talking to them then. We're going to have a special with all the cider makers in one room. But at the very top of my list was Alderley. Then I saw Julie was here. So Julie Powell is here. She is pouring for the Alderley. What did you bring to pour?
Actually, we brought our full lineup. So we've got our 2017 releases. That's our 2017 Bacchus, Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Gris. And then we've got our 2015 Pinot Noir, our 2015 Clarinet, 2015 Merlot, and the 2014 Matrix blend.
Who's the star of your portfolio currently?
Probably, in the way, depending on where you are. On the island where we sell most of our wine, people love the Pinot Gris, food-friendly wine, also the Bacchus. Clarinet is always a perennial favorite as an old vine Sfosh. Yeah. But people also really are enjoying, particularly here today, the Pinot Noir.
Is there something new on that table?
Well, certainly Zach, obviously, with us taking over last year, he's put his own sort of mark on things. And we'll certainly start to see that in the reds, and notably in the Matrix program going forward.
A year down the road, is there something that you don't have on that table today that you would like to be making?
One of the things we thought there might be potential for, you know, on Vancouver Island in general, and a lot of the other wineries are looking at, is a sparkling wine. So we've kind of thought, you know, in future years, maybe dabbling in that a little bit. We think definitely it's the right climate and there'd be an opportunity there.
Welcome to the wine business.
Thank you so much, Terry. A pleasure.
Alderley. They are Zach Brown, Julie Powell. Welcome to Vancouver and Tasting Room Radio.
Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. Because all of the wineries in the Cowichan, and actually across Canada, have been asked to close, this is what we're proposing to do. Free shipping on case orders, as per usual, and someone at the winery is available for drive-through pickups. It's a great idea. Just a heads up, the wine club shipment is in June. The restaurant is closed as of now, but they will reopen as soon as they can, 7 days a week. And when Unsworth does reopen, think about this, they're adding private tasting and tours for $45. They are an hour long, have a snack board with wine and cheese, and can be booked in advance by email or calling them. Please go to their website, unsworthvineyards.com.